Yo ya te lo dije, pero qué sé yo, right? I might odiarme, but I'm still gon' live my life. Heck of emotion, that's why you lose yourself every time. They yelling DK, like what do I know, right?
Welcome to another episode of DK with your host, Sarah Vega Melian. And this episode is brought to you by Lujo Wellness, the home of Lujo Tooth Polish, where if you are still using toothpaste, you're tripping. Get with the program and embrace a clean mouth. Back to the show. Welcome back to another episode of DK with me. And today, what are we talking about? We are still on the growth journey that is DK. Today, we're talking about the validation that I never got and now I don't give a fuck about. I've already spoken about cancel culture, my mistakes with DK, my experience with the panorama, and how Lujo came out of that. Today is validation because after a while, shit just has to go up, right? Of course. I will say that con todo lo que me ha pasado, ya yo estoy en un lugar que uno está bien, uno está tranquilo, right? And during the panorama, a lot of cancel culture came up. And, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're not revisiting the topic of cancel culture, but we're revisiting my old topic of validation. When I created DK, as I've repeated before, you know, it was meant for the Afro-Caribbeans of the tri-state area. However, it didn't quite turn out that way, which is all good, you know, whatever. And I really wanted to make a mark in Dominican culture, mostly because I'm very proud of where I come from. I'm proud of how I was raised. I didn't have the perfect childhood. I don't have the perfect parents, but I felt that my Dominican experience was awesome. You know, a mí me criaron mitad aquí en Nueva York y mitad en Santo Domingo, right? Cada verano me mandaba era para donde mamá y papá, to Santo Domingo, where I would stay for the summer. And then my mom would come through at the end of the summer, pick me up. You know what I mean? It was cool. I felt that, I thought that was everybody's immigrant experience. Like, you know, you were raised here, born here, but you go back to whatever native country you're from. And I really thought that was how life was up until, like, I got to maybe junior year of high school, because I was still traveling to DR in the summer. And, you know, it was not that way. A lot of people were not privileged like I was. And that right there kind of changed the game for me. And coming into my womanhood, into my adulthood, and with someone, as someone who still had those hoop dreams of media and culture and all that stuff, the more I came across Dominican creators and the whole Uptown Collective vibe, I noticed, like, Dominican people wasn't fucking with me like that. Y yo no sabía por qué, because out of everybody I know, like, yo tenía mi cédula, yo era la única que siempre iba para Santo Domingo. Yo, cuando yo iba para Santo Domingo, yo me blah, blah. When I would go to Santo Domingo, yo todavía estaba en la guagua, estaba en el carro público, estaba en el motoconcho. Like, I got around. You know what I mean? I'm from Santo Domingo in Sánchez Quisqueya, and, you know, I just knew my way around. I knew my way around like you know your way around here in the States, right? Yo me movía, you know, it didn't matter. And so when people questioned my Dominicanness, whether my Spanish was un poquito ratata or at its peak, I felt like, yo, I'm out here. You know what I mean? Like, I got dual citizenship. I grew up in the hood. I grew up over there. You know, all this. But growing up, even in high school, the small group of Dominican kids, like, they would call me presumida, comparona, all kinds of shit. Like, oh, esta viene de allá. You know, just belittling my Dominican experience. Which is fine, because I would say, like, bueno, tú estás aquí. You know, you want to be here, so you ain't better than me. And I guess, which that's a whole other episode, but I guess people always try to chop me down. Like, always try to chop me down to size, to whatever, because maybe I walk around with that defense. I don't know. But one thing I could say is, being raised in Newark, New Jersey, I didn't have a lot of Dominican people around me, if it wasn't just my family. I grew up with a lot of Puerto Ricans, and I grew up with a lot of Black folks. And growing up with one foot in the States and one foot in the Dominican Republic, that was an experience in itself. Because even though I was born here, I'm still first generation, you know? I was an ESL kid growing up, meaning, you know, that English was my second language. But after a while, you lose your accent. You lose your accent. You forget some Spanish. Because here is like, oh, I grew up with the whole don't be talking that mira mira shit. And, you know, I was called all kinds of hick, called all kinds of whatever, immigrant, whatever. It's cool. But after a while, I just stopped speaking Spanish. And all my friends spoke English. Si yo hablaba español, era con mi familia, con los amigos míos que eran personal, o con la tía mía. It was very rare that I spoke Spanish with friends, unless it was really like some Dominican-ass friends that I met in Patterson and we would talk. That's not to mention that some of the Dominican friends, like, they had that ese tigueraje pesado, ese tigueraje con el acento pesado. But I was raised like, uno no habla así. Because Dominicans always had, like, a certain rep. Like, it's either we were too trashy, too hood, or super plastic. And I was somewhere in the middle. And I felt like the hick-ass Dominicans just wasn't fucking with me because I didn't have that ese tigueraje super pesado. Porque a mí, si tú me quieres quillar, llámame de que loca. Si tú me quieres llamar de que, oye, loca, venga acá. Don't call me that shit. I think that's ugly as hell. Dímelo, loca. Nah. Calm down. I'd rather hear prima, manita, versus loca. Like, that shit pisses me off. And that's the one come mielderia que me dio la familia mía. Don't call me de que, oh, mi loca. Fuck out of here. Like, why you calling me that? And that could be part of the reason why Dominicans don't really fuck with me, right? Cool. So then, validation. I always wanted that validation from my own people, from Dominican folks. Mostly because I felt like, yo, I'm Dominican as hell. A lot of the Dominican people that I've met, they're like, yo, I haven't gone back to DR in 15 years. And I'm like, who are you? Who raised you? You know what I mean? While, meanwhile, I'm here con mi acento de Americana, apparently. And I'm going every year, and I'm doing what I gotta do. And it's like, yo me voy pa allá, y ya yo tengo mi rutina. I go here, there, I do what I want, mami, ya vengo. You know what I mean? Like, I've been robbed in DR. Like, once you get robbed in DR, that's it, you Dominican as hell. And, you know, I always wanted that validation, always. Now, my family's originally from Washington Heights, Dykeman and Post Ave. And then after they all moved to Jersey and then they all moved to DR, it's like we lost that. Some of my cousins moved, like whatever. And then what makes it even greater is that all of my cousins at some point lived in DR. Like everyone took turns staying in DR for like a year. Something happened in their life that went horrifically wrong or se mudaron allá, and then that's it. You know, you spend your time, you come back, whatever. I'm very used to my family with the coming and the going. You know what I mean? My aunts and my uncles and my mom, like, that's just been the thing with my family. We always come back and forth at different times of the year. So when I started Dike, and I named it Dike for a reason, you know what I mean? As I've always said, I didn't come up with this. God gave me this. But I feel like, yo, Dike, Dominican as fuck. I'm definitely going to get that crowd. That's a whole negative. My primary demographic at first was Black women. Shout out to y'all. And then little by little, started getting a little bit more Spanish. Little by little. Not too much. So when this whole podcast trend started going, you know, which is, you know, like another version of talk radio, you know, and I noticed that I wasn't getting the demographic I wanted, I was like, all right, what am I doing wrong? Yo estoy hablando demasiado de inglés. Yo no tengo el tigueraje pesado. Yo tengo un acento. What is it, right? I kind of let that go. For a long time, I've known, you know, a few Dominican creators, Juan Bago and, you know, that whole Heights Entertainment crew, shout out to them. You know, I knew them and things like that, but it was just them. But they knew, like, all the Dominican tastemakers at the time, and I wanted them to see me as a peer. But, and this is controversial, is one thing that Dominican people do is they don't work well together. And that's just like, there's receipts on that, so it's cool. And that's across the board with music, with whatever. For whatever reason, I never really came across to fit in or to be accepted by the Uptown, you know, the Uptown collective, Uptown crew, whatever. You know, there was two prominent brands that, if you know, you know. So I'm not going to say no names, but if you know, you know. And I tried, and I really wanted to be down. Not be down with them or dick riding, because that's not me ever. But I just felt like, yo, if they fuck with me, the rest of the Dominican community, art community, will fuck with me. But it didn't turn out like that. I had mild conversations with these people, but that's all that ever went. To me, not having a Dominican-based podcast, but it never attracted Dominican folks, I felt like I failed. I felt like I didn't hit my target demographic. I felt like, what did I do wrong? Do I not have a hard accent? Maybe my English accent isn't exactly a Dominican one, because, you know, I'm from Newark. I feel like we have a very New Yorkian accent. Whoever grows up in Newark, we all kind of sound the same, like hard, and we talk fast and with a lot of emphasis. And, you know, whatever, it is what it is. I didn't come out like that, you know what I'm saying? So it really almost, I want to say, hurt my feelings that I never, like, was really accepted or welcomed. So when I created Dike, that was for my own thing. You know, I had plans of making it into Dominican topics and all that shit, but it turned out to be like a coming of age. It turned out to be a coming of age podcast where I tackled a lot of different subjects that people don't talk about, that the Latino community don't talk about. And that was the claim to fame with Dike. And it was a podcast that happened to be run by a Dominican woman. But I didn't want that. I wanted like an Alofoque or, you know, one of those types of brands I wanted to emulate that. However, I didn't like some of the things these Dominican news media outlets I did not like some whatever these news media outlets were how they would represent Dominican folks, right? So I didn't want to portray that. I didn't want to repost that. you know, there was a lot of things because Dominicans don't have the best reputation. It's a lot of self-hate. It's a lot of I know black statements. You know, it's still a lot of deep self-hate in that community. And I did not want to represent that. As someone who is, you know, very beige, I guess racially ambiguous, I am very Latina presenting. You know, after the whole Afro-Latino conversation blew up, I understood my Afro-Latinidad, but then there's people who are actually very black presenting that would be like, you're not black, or this and that. And then other people would tell me, well, you hope you know, you're not white. And I'm just like, all right, y'all gonna have to make up your minds. And this is all I want to say within the last 2-3 years that I felt like I had to understand what were my privileges, second, what am I, and three, where I come from. I was raised predominantly Dominican. You know, I was raised very criollo in mi casa, comiendo mangú, arroz, bichuela, carne, all that shit. My father is from Nicaragua. He's from the capital of Nicaragua, as per my mother. And he's considered a Central American man. So my father's very light-skinned, you know, where he's beige too. And so is my mama. And of course, the biggest argument with this Afro-Latinidad is my grandma's black, right? So my father's mother is actually black. And the blackness of me came mostly from my father's side, the indigenous, the Afro-indigenous. And that was another curveball that was thrown into my life when it came to identity and accepting, because I don't know anything about my Central American side. And I haven't made the effort to learn. You know, and then coming from another self-hating type of situation where my black grandmother from my father's side couldn't stand Dominican people, and she herself would deny her own blackness. And so it was weird. I've probably been around my paternal grandmother probably 3 times in a lifetime, and we have pictures. But my grandparents from my mother's side, I've been around them all my life. Because I never really met Nicaraguan people, I really clung, is that a word? I really grasped onto Dominican people. I really held on to my relationships with whatever few Dominican friends I have because it was important to me. And I love típico. Whoever knows, they know. A mí me encanta bailar típico and bachata. I like all my stuff. I'd rather go to a Spanish club than an English club any day. I'd rather listen to Raulín versus the latest trap, you know? So that's why, to me, a mí me dolía when Dominican people wouldn't fuck with me. And I'm like, damn, word? Like, that's how, what is it? So when I created this, I was looking for that acceptance from mostly the uptown folks, because that was the closest thing to Dominicans doing anything artsy related that I saw. And this is what I say about cancel culture, because can you really cancel? We can't. During the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic, a few things came out about certain people in that collective. And, you know, to me, when I heard, when I saw, I just chalked it up as, you know what? You cannot escape God's wrath. To me, cancel culture, you can't really cancel nobody, but that first wave of embarrassment, chill. I'm good. And I did, you know, I was grateful that I didn't get that validation from them, because I wasn't trying to be even associated with any of that shit that was going on. So, you know, God's reject, you know, people reject you is God's protection, right? And to me, now there was like an opening, because ya nadie está hablando de esa gente, but, you know, still. However, said people started creeping back around when Clubhouse was starting to be the new wave. And who's canceling? Nobody, right? Because at the end of the day, they made some brands where it's like the only Dominican shit we got, that you can cancel them. They might not be as popular, but they're still here. I wanted that validation to almost certify that I'm Dominican. I made a comment, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, where I said that if you don't speak Spanish, you're like the Burger King taco. And shit, I almost got canceled. Even though I stood my ground, that was the first lesson on you better learn to watch what you say. And even though I didn't back down and I explained better what I meant by that, it just showed me how people just really want to belong. When you are a first generation immigrant and you lose your accent, it's almost like losing a small part of your genetic makeup. And to me, I really held on to my accent for as long as I could. But life, jobs, you know, I grew up, so I wasn't in DR for months on end anymore, up until I had to live there. But it was, you know, it's life, it's what you do, it's what happens. Now with those people out the way, and now there's a new wave of like Dominican creators and all this shit, I still didn't feel accepted. I still wasn't feeling like, oh, come, let's collaborate, let's do this, let's do that. And you know, people know who the fuck I am at this point. People know what I do. People know my podcast. Whatever. Whatever reason, they don't fuck with me now, I don't know. But I have accepted that my Dominicanness, my heritage, my upbringing is not for debate. It's not up for debate whatsoever. I knew how I grew up with the receipts that I have, with how I live, with my dual citizenship, with my knowledge and how to get around the city. Yeah, you cannot tell me that I'm not Dominican. I wanted that so badly from, you know, the New York City uptown shit, because they're the closest thing to Dominican art that I could come across. And Dominican people, from my experience, before I get fucking yelled at, we don't have that liberty to be ourselves the way we want to be. Because if you grew up, let's say, if you're an older millennial, at least in Santo Domingo, they wasn't playing all that artsy fartsy freedom gender bending bullshit back in the day. Now it's a little different, obviously, because after a while things progress. But back then, not really. So whenever I saw anyone that had art in them, it was like a moth to a flame. I was like, oh my God, wow, this is what you do and you're Dominican. This is amazing. Because most of the time, the people that had Dike cool jobs or cool positions, they were mostly Black American folks. They were African American. And I've always said Latinos are very behind when it comes to culture and media, and that's a whole other conversation. But just to see someone like myself have a position of some sort of influence, and they were Dominican and they knew Spanish as well, it was like something from another world. I was so enamored and impressed that I wanted that so bad. I wanted them to see me so bad as well. But now, I'm older. I don't give a fuck. I created my own shit. And I'm here, you know? I am doing the work to make this the type of Dominican media that I would want to see growing up, that was more positive, that doesn't involve, you know, Dominicans being loud and obnoxious and raunchy and all kinds of other shit that other media outlets portray us as. I have a very much a love-hate relationship with Dominican people and our culture. I hate our self-hate. I can't stand how we deny our blackness. But in the same token, we use that same blackness that we have, that we inherit because, you know, we're Afro descendants, to create some of the most popular poppin' shit that there is. So when I created Deacon Media Network, it was to show how poppin' we really are and how influential our music is, our style is. When I created Deacon, it was because I was tired of seeing, you know, a West Coast representation of what Latinos are. Or that I saw this Miami sound machine shit in TV. And I'm like, yo, I don't eat tacos every day. And I definitely don't listen to Chayanne all the time. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, that media wasn't giving what it was supposed to give, at least up in New York City. And I wanted to create that lane. Well, I'm doing the best I can to create that lane for people like myself. The validation I seeked, past tense, seek, from other Dominican creatives, ya que mamen un huevo, porque a mí no me importa. That's it. You know, like, I already got over it. But I seeked it because at the time, and even throughout my life, at the time, I just didn't have the type of Dominican friend community that I really wanted. For whatever reason, Dominicans and myself, I have Dominican friends, but they're like few and far in between. I really wanted to immerse myself in the culture that can only be found in Santo Domingo. But, you know, yo soy una Dominican Joel, like everybody likes to say. I made peace with the fact that, yes, I was born in the Americas and I have 1 foot here, 1 foot in Santo Domingo, and that's how I plan to stay. Now I don't need anyone to validate me. My cédula validates me. You know, my family validates me. Me having like 8 names in my birth certificate, that validates me. My topics and my experiences as a Dominican person validates me. What I do with Deacon now is my interpretation of what positive Dominican influence is. I do pray that I get to build a better representation and I build a better community with Dominican folks in it. But right now, I'm happy with the audience I have. I'm happy that even though this was made for a certain demographic, a whole other demographic embraced me. You know, West Coast people, LA predominantly, and the Bay embraced me. Miami embraced me. Connecticut embraced me, you know? And at this point, it is what it is. Everything I do it to progress the culture that I am in love with and the culture that I want to protect. Even if it doesn't love me back, I know that pretty soon, yo voy a ser la matatana, you know what I'm saying? So it's cool. I do hope that one day I make the mark that I know I can make. But for right now, the only validation I need is que yo soy la nieta de Manuel Melian y de Elsa Melian y la hija de Elizabeth Melian. In my heart, in my upbringing, my womb, I am my version of what a Dominican woman is. Yo no tengo que hacer vulgar. Yo no tengo que tener de que un tigueraje pesado. Y yo no tengo que hablar como si yo soy de la calle. I am who I am. Yo me llamo Sara Vega Melian. Y te veo en la próxima.
Yo ya te lo dije, pero qué sé yo, right? I'm gonna odiarme, but I'm still gonna live my life. Heck of emotion, that's why you lose yourself every time. They yelling DK, like what do I know, right?